I'll say nothing could be finer than the Charleston. Charleston. I'm gonna do a strip.
Okay.
Where it's those two dogs, and then Scratch is coming around going Charleston, Charleston, and then he turns the corner and they're all looking, and then the last panel Scratch has beat the shit out of them.
I was gonna say it's just a shotgun unloaded and smoking.
God, you're too far, Straub.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
When do we start? At three? Oh, it's three.
Whenever you want.
This is it. We're recording.
Are we ready to start?
Are we ready to start? So we want this to be just like a... Who here is familiar with the podcast? All right. We want this to
be
just...
We don't have
just,
to do anything. Then.
No. We're recording this so you guys will actually be on the podcast. This is my voice. Ow! But we want this to be as normal as possible, so we're going to ignore that you're here for a little bit.
And we're all going to work on our comics in the meantime.
It's like just having Skype running with silence. Yeah.
Let's do over unders. Like how many times has said, "God damn it, Geiger! God damn it, Brad!" All
just
right.
So you know, guys, in a funny moment, we were testing the volume levels before the podcast to see how you know how we're doing on the recording. And we're like, all right, Brad, you go ahead. And it's like, it's barely blipping at all. And we're like, come on, Brad, speak up. And he goes, and the Mac is like smoking. It's like ridiculously spiked. So anyway.
All right. So we're going to start officially.
Can we introduce ourselves?
Wait, I'm going to do the thing. So
on
the show.
Hope.
All right. You're listening to Web Comics Weekly. The podcast of Indeterminate Length, where we discuss the craft, the art of drawing your comics and putting them on the web. I am one of your hosts, Scott Kurtz. You might know a little thing I draw called the Pivip.
The Pivip.
At pvponline.com.
Hey!
Wow!
No, you're not here. You're not here. You're not supposed to be here.
Shut up! Stop it! Stop clapping! To my left, and this is not a joke this week.
My God, that's weird.
Wow.
To my left is Christopher Straub of StarslipCrisis.com.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, Chris.
How are you doing?
To my right is Dave Kellett of Sheldon Comics, SheldonComics.com.
That's right.
Good man. Good man.
And to his right is Brad Wigwam Geiger of EvilIncorporated.com.
Evil-comic.com.
Oh, Evil-comic.com. You couldn't get EvilIncorporated.com? 56
shoes, or 56 shoes, shows, and we
56
still can't
shoes.
Get it right.
56
right.
Shoes.
We've done 56 shoes.
That's the 10th anniversary book of No Shoes for Tuesday. hey, you know, one time I actually typed in EvilInc.com, and it went to your comic.
I now have Evil-Inc.
Yeah.
With a C.com.
Yeah.
Yep. I haven't really figured out how to use it yet, but it just redirects over to Evil.com.
That's good.
Yeah.
So done. Should we talk about where we are?
Yeah, let's talk about
I think
about
it's
where
important.
So, because for the folks at home, which are the five people that don't normally listen to us,
listen
to
the show,
normally,
right?
We're
at Web Comics Weekend.
Hey-o. We are in. Is it this, Mayor? This is technically East Hampton, not Northampton, right? So this is East Hampton, Massachusetts.
Does it matter? Is it important?
It's critical.
I am sorry.
It's a gang thing.
I am sorry.
It's a gang thing.
East Hampton, left
slightly,
leg rolled up.
Which
slightly,
leg do I need
slightly
to roll
whiter
up?
People at war with slightly less.
Yeah,
people.
You see, like an East Hampton white guy walk up and a West Hampton. They
and
go,
like, oh,
and then
oh,
they both
East Hampton, baby.
They both just start texting insults.
Your vegan pie is slightly less vegan. I'm very angry with you.
And then they both just cry and then go smoke a joint. Why are we fighting?
Massachusetts, everybody.
Why are we fighting? And it's like,
yeah,
let's, we
you
should
put
fight.
Butter in there.
Yeah, it's like, hey, don't poke her at the joint. Hey, fuck you. All right, back on your side.
And that's where we are.
And that's
are.
A lot like webcomics.
That's a lot like webcomics.
No, but this is amazing.
This is amazing. And
it
you
is.
Know what? We have to give a big shout out to Meredith and Rich and all the
yes.
umbrellas.
Yeah.
All
the
umbrellas.
The best.
Yeah, sustained applause.
What started as a simple email from Meredith saying, what if you guys all came out to where we live one weekend and we just hung out, turned into a, okay, everyone's going to come out, to maybe we should invite the people out.
Yeah.
And then, no, don't invite the people out. We're just going to drink and I want to be in my underwear. And then it was like, no, people are coming.
And then we're like, no, Scott, that's the other 364 days out there.
That's why we're bringing the people. Yeah. Let's enforce that.
We need
that.
To train you. Yeah. Anyway. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we do this again next year?
Yeah.
All right.
These are our people.
I know.
I got to tell you, this is so invigorating to come to this. I don't know. Meredith's probably feeling the same way, that this is awesome. It's awesome.
Hold on. I got to check the levels on this thing.
While you check the levels, I thought, you know what? Yeah, there you go.
Scott is using a sonic screwdriver. Oh, look at that. It's probably got a huge gain.
Oh,
on the
you
mic,
know what? So you know what? You know what would help is that if that wasn't a toy.
Oh,
would make that work better for children.
A fan
for
gave
children.
Me this
for little British children
for tiny,
good job.
Not
children
even from
bring
this
their
country.
Toys to
no,
play.
A fan so gave me this, which doesn't happen at Comic Cons, but this is a web Comic Con.
Yeah,
free sonic screwdriver.
So.
There's applause line,
everything's
I
an
guess.
Applause. Yeah, no kidding.
So, right. So, we're in East Hampton, Massachusetts, Web Comics Weekend.
Yeah.
We're in, this building was built in the 1880s, 18...
And
they
right
built
now,
the
and
city
the
around
drops.
This building.
This like... traveling with me, I always ask stupid questions like that, don't I?
Yes.
Every
That's
convention
all
we
you
go
care
to,
about is the
I know,
history.
Like, yeah. Scott and I went down to give
Why?
A speech in Savannah.
In Savannah.
And I'm like, walking around the streets in Savannah.
Look at that
and
building.
I'm, like, asking
Look at
Savannah,
that one.
Is, like, What industry built your fine town? Yeah. How did you folks get? Scott was like, why do you care?
Well, we no, we
Wikipedia.
That's,
look it up.
Yeah, that's we were when we went to Baltimore and we were walking that scary fucking walk past the Apple to that pub and like the Apple Dumpling Gang came by. A motorcycle gang really to come by,
when,
right?
Where was that? That was
in
Baltimore. They were a moped gang.
Yeah, it was a moped
they
gang.
They had mopeds.
But at one point, we're walking to this pub, and we're walking, and blah, blah, ha, ha. And then all of a sudden, Dave goes, what is the main export of Baltimore? And we're like, I don't fucking know. And then Dave just got in his iPhone. He goes, you know what? iPhone, Wikipedia. So by the time we get to the pub, he goes, guys, main export of Baltimore? Crime.
All of a sudden, Brad walking much faster.
And the nervous laughter.
Baltimore. Baltimore is also the con when we were walking to the harbor. And I'm walking with Brad, and I was like, Brad, it really is scary here. And he's like, yeah, I live in Philly, and this is scary. And
yeah.
So we're walking, and these two...
Brad's shiving a guy while he's saying that.
this is a tough town.
It's you and Malky, and we're all walking, and all of a sudden this couple comes up, and it looked like... They looked like zombies. They looked so gaunt.
Oh, God.
And then they come up, and they go, excuse me, pardon me. And I'm like, oh, shit, they're like homeless or something. And we start to stop, and I see Brad go and walk, and I'm like... Fuck, I'm going with Brad. But they come up,
and then,
they come and they go, can you help us? Because
And I went, yes, my child, what is it? What can I do?
Chris is immediately like, yeah, calming touches, you know.
They,
yes. You are affirmed by this hand on the chest.
They,
you are affirmed by
when
me.
When they approach,
I actually
they look
saw
normal.
Chris spit in the dust and make mud and start applying it to the guy's eyes. It was...
But
then,
I
weird.
Think, by the way, that this is now the fifth podcast we've told this story.
Yes. Yeah.
We can probably skip this story.
No, actually,
Chris died.
Yeah,
Chris
and then died. I died. I was going to say that's a good idea since we don't really have anything prepared. Let's just reenact, say, number 24.
Yeah, you guys, we
I
can do the greatest
scripts.
Hits. You guys
let's just
let us know which ones you want. We'll do
greatest
the greatest hits.
It's like they know everything, there, right? They know it. They're
well,
here.
Well, no. So just so you guys know, we are going to do some Q and A's.
So if you do have questions, does anyone have questions? Just
yeah,
so we know.
No questions.
Shit.
At all, nothing. No.
All right.
So we've got to talk for an hour and a half. All right.
Bleh.
All right. Financial crisis. How do we get out of this?
Just cigarette smoke hanging.
All right. I'm thinking, you guys need to buy.
Well, you know what? We don't have to convince anyone here that the web is good and that. All the bullshit.
I don't know. Is the web good? Is it good? I don't know if it is or not.
See, they didn't want
they're
to give me that.
They're middling.
Tepid. Very tepid.
Very tepid.
But
that was
Brad, you remember the conversation we had on the way up about newspapers and stuff?
Yeah.
We should talk about that.
We could start. That's a really relevant topic.
Have we talked about that on the show?
What, newspapers?
Newspapers, not so much.
Why would we do that?
Why? A little bit?
So for those of you guys that don't know, before the internet existed, there was a paper form of the internet called newspapers.
We'll do it.
And wait, what are you doing? What's Anger Man over here? What's the
We're
matter?
We're
gonna
do
what it. Happened, Wilkins?
We're gonna do it.
What's your matter?
No, I said, why would we talk about newspapers? Like, what from what aspect? From what angle?
Oh well, here's the angle: is that literally within 5 years they'll be gone.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yes,
do you really
yes.
think they will?
Oh yeah, I think. Well, I think we'll have 2 to 6 national newspapers. Like, you know, you'll see the New York Times survive.
They'll turn into like magazines.
Yeah, but they'll become, exactly, they'll become more of like, I mean, Time Magazine online is almost becoming the equivalent of, you know, they're giving up on the magazines. Oh,
am I too? Am I
little,
too,
stick it in your mouth.
But,
a little
but gentle do you, does, that, does that mean journalism dies?
Yeah. A form of that.
I'll tell you right now, that's not a good thing.
No.
And we can joke about it all we want. But
this becomes a very political Webcomics Weekly. America!
We
my
will
God,
bury.
We've got to save it.
But it actually does become a bad thing because journalism, it really is done at the newspaper level. And people are saying, well, I'm going to get my journalism through online. I can go to CNN.com. I can go here. I can go there. The truth of the matter is that all those sites are getting their news from newspapers, getting it through newspapers via the Associated Press.
We talked about that on the drive up, the idea that, like,
it's
going to change from journalists to bloggers, and how CNN is trying to get on top of that with their iReport stuff. And it's just completely worthless.
But it is shit.
But newspapers do good. That is going to be lost. And this goes beyond comics. What newspapers do well is they cover city council meetings, school board meetings, things of that nature that actually affect you.
So here's why I have
hope.
Okay,
Brad, you can get up in your mouth.
Because I actually think that comics. No, I think we can all agree in the room that Craigslist does classifieds better than a newspaper does, right? And web comics, actually, I think, do comics better than a newspaper does. You know, a fan hits the first one, they hit the archives, they hit the blog, they hit all the character descriptions.
No, I agree
with
you.
So I think that works better. But I do think that national reporting, and especially like Brad was saying, local reporting gets lost. And say Huffington Post doesn't do that. It does blogs and
you know
all these. But one thing that actually does give me hope is that, I don't know, the Rocky Mountain News broke went under 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Two and a half, three weeks ago. In the last couple of weeks, 20 or 30 journalists for the Rocky Mountain News have acknowledged that, look, what we do best is local reporting, local sports,
local
council.
Well, and
the local
papers are doing well still.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they've banded together like 30 of their better reporters online, and I think it's called like iRockyMountain.com or iWantMyRocky.com. And
are you mocking them?
But we've been talking
assholes. That's never gonna work.
How this comes back to webcomics though is that people are like, well, you should hook up with those kind of people. And my thought is, you don't need them as a webcomics artist.
No, you don't. No. But like the reason I was bringing it back to comics is just not because I care about newspapers in general, but as someone who grew up reading the funny pages, I mean, I gave up on them a long time ago. There's nothing nostalgic attachment there for me anymore. But I'm still pretty attached to comics. And I think that these newspapers going out of business and filing Chapter 11 and all this stuff, I think that's a harbinger of that this time next year, we're going to be seeing that in comic books.
I mean,
Diamond just upped their minimums. So a lot of the smaller comic book publishers are already saying they're going to go out of business. And then my question to you is this, and this is why I'm asking, okay? When newspapers are out of business and the print comic books are a shit business, there's only one place left for everyone to go, and that's where we are.
The Amazon Kindle. No, I'm kidding.
Comics on your dick.
Because why not?
But there's an important point there that Scott's making.
Yeah. Don't say important point.
I have the technology.
No. There's an important aspect to what Scott just said, and that is for the people in this room right now, you are ahead of the curve. It's going to happen. It's going to come
to
pass. Oh, yeah.
Some of these guys have showed me their work. Everybody ain't ahead of the curve.
No,
they
no, no.
see the curve.
I'll argue with you there.
They're trying to turn.
There.
I'll argue that all day. Everyone in this room right now is ahead of the curve because even if the stuff that they're doing right now isn't the uber polished super comic, by the time that the newspapers inevitably crash and by the time the comic book industry faces its downslide, these guys, if they've been posting over and over and over again and working on it, they will be to that point. You've got a good, I figure, year and a half, 2 years before everything crashes.
I'm almost
in that
like
a point of time, if you're doing daily updates, you're going to be phenomenal.
As short as that, though? Because every time we talk about newspapers moving online, it's like, all right, we got to do something. Okay, how do we get people to pay for this content?
No.
How do we do micropayments?
Well, that's the thing.
And they don't
Every journalist I know, though, is going through this, what are the six stages of grief, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And right now, every journalist I know is in the bargaining position. They're like, if we could just get Hearst to design a machine that's like the Kindle, where you can charge for the Times and the Washington Post, and you're like, will you stop that? People don't pay for zero
right.
to one. But they're all like, they will not
please,
accept
Mr. Hearst, if you get a good G-Rater out, I'll stop drinking, I'll go to church again.
Yeah, exactly. I'll actually write good articles. No, but...
yeah, thank you. But, so I put that, I made this new shirt that says, I'm killing newspapers by reading webcomics, and I'm like, oh, this is going to fucking sell great. I mean, look how many people are here, and you all read webcomics, and you're going to be like, yeah, I want to own it. I want that shirt. And guess what? You're all fucking up here not wearing this shirt because I'm getting emails from people going, how dare you dance on the grave of the jobs of the Rocky Mountain News, you know? And it's like, you post that shirt on the day the Seattle PI goes out of business? And I was like, well, when was I supposed to post it? Last week? It would have been Rocky Mountain News. Like, if I wait until no newspapers are going out of business. Yeah.
And it's not even a relevant shirt anymore. All the newspapers are gone.
Yeah, then it's not. That's not a relevant shirt. But my, but
you
see,
to, I killed newspapers.
Well, okay. Can I get philosophical though? And you guys may or may not agree with this, but my contention is that DC and Marvel lost their audience when they stopped bringing in kids. It's essentially, if you're a Marvel or a DC reader, you're probably 30 or older for the most part. I mean, you don't have to agree with me, but I think largely statistically,
percentage
at
wise,
it, yeah, they lost their readers when they stopped bringing in kids for, and they try every once in a while, but you get my point. What's interesting to me is what will happen to webcomics when that gateway comic or that initial thrust of, I mean, maybe Nickelodeon Magazine will be it now and not the newspaper, and maybe Disney Magazine will be it now. But what will be the I don't know, what's the word here, the opening, the...
The gateway
like
drug?
When I say that, but you know
that's
what I mean?
Fine,
you know,
yeah.
How will a 9-year-old find their love for comics? And in the U.S., it was always the newspaper. It was there. Mom and Dad read their sections, and you read your comic section. And I'm a little bit concerned because when the newspaper does go away, not that it affects my business at all. My personal business will probably get better over the years. But I'm a little worried for comics in general in the U.S. and Canada that once newspapers go, there's no longer that initiative.
Yeah, I mean, Brad, to ask you, because your wife was saying the other night, I wish there was comics for the kids to read. Why aren't they reading comics
online? That's just where I was going. Yeah. And this goes back to kind of tying in with what I said earlier, and that is right now you guys have a tremendous opportunity because there is that gaping necessity of reading material for a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old reader. Very family. It needs to be a very family-friendly site, so you have to be very careful about your ads.
Oh, you got it.
And you've got to be able to put out stuff that those young people are willing to read. Librarians and homeschool parents and parents in general are desperate for that material. If you can write it and write it good and make it not be crap, right now.
That's
you
three
guys
is the
have
same
an
thing.
Excellent.
I like taking notes. Write it, make it go, not be crap. Oh, never mind. I'm out. You lost me on point three.
But if you can do that, and if you can do that now, and work on getting your skills to the where they're going to need to be when this thing really bottoms out in a few years, you are at an excellent opportunity point right now.
I
mean it.
I just
put the button on it.
I love the button there.
I just also feel like I think that. We're really at an exciting time, so we're very excited about things. I mean, this whole weekend, the number one thing that's being said to me, Mara, by other people that are guests that are coming out the booth is like, "There's a lot of people here. This is amazing. Oh my God! You know, like it's our time is here. You know, but." What?
Blood alone moves
brothers
the
and
wheels
sisters,
of history.
Brothers and sisters, take up arms. Now is our time.
Those who drew print comics will count themselves ashamed.
They will wish the mountains would fall down upon them. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going.
For those who didn't draw a fart joke upon St. Christmas Day.
St. Christmas
Day. That's what I was thinking. But what I'm saying is that right now everything seems so good for us, right? Like things are going so great. And what I'm thinking that we need to make sure that we do is now is the time for us to really establish ourselves and really get serious and put lay down a bedrock of we were here first. Here's our fucking flag. You know, and we establish this because what's going to happen is once Marvel and DC and whatever, all these guys decide, well, I guess we better figure out the web. Even if they come around to finally, maybe we have to give this shit away. They're going to be like, DC's going to come in like the guy. Did you ever see the movie Dragon Slayer?
I'm blocking from Brad.
Did you ever see Dragon Slayer with Peter McNichol in it? There's like the whole movie is about all these people that die to kill this dragon. At the very end, after everyone's sitting there going, and the dragon's dead, and three people died, and the whole love story happened, up walks the king, and he takes a sword, and he goes, and then everyone goes, ah, the king killed the dragon. You remember that at the end of Dragon Slayer?
Yep.
And that's going to fucking happen.
Well, no, and I'll go you one more step on that.
Marvel's
in the next
come
couple of years, as you guys are going on with your webcomics, and as some of these established businesses get desperate, as they're in their death throes, just before the king puts the sword in the dragon's heart, you're going to find a lot of offers coming your way if you're doing halfway decent material or better. And those offers are going to be serious offers, and they're going to be crap offers.
Yeah.
But they're going to start to rely on those things that we've heard of since time immemorial.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you could get real exposure for your webcomics. You're doing business with Marvel Comics. That's a big name. You remember Marvel, don't you? We can give you exposure. Nobody can give you exposure that you can't get for yourself
work
by
for
applying
exposure.
Some decent marketing techniques.
Well, it won't be Marvel, though. It'll be their online initiative,
PopSchmuck,
or whatever name they come up with.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Right now, especially for 2009 and going into the first part of 2010, I don't think, unless it was one heck of a deal, I wouldn't sign a contract with anybody who's bigger than me right now.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. That's actually true.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I missed it. Everyone's clapping. You wouldn't sign a contract with anyone bigger than you?
Yeah.
It would, no. I did preface it. It would have to be one heck of a contract, but I would not, just going in the door, I wouldn't sign a contract with anybody bigger than me. Random House has a better chance of going out of business in 2009 than I do.
True.
Well, yeah, isn't there like some upcoming seminar on...
books?
What was that about?
I love how we're all hanging
out. Hold on a second.
No, it's not a secret.
Oh. Charleston.
Isn't there a panel on self-syndication coming up?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like this seminar on learn how to self-syndicate your comic strip to newspapers.
Oh,
and we're like, why?
Yeah.
For what? That's like your comic strip.
You can make $100 before
being the last guy on the Titanic. Like,
I got that.
Oh, I got it. I made it. Man.
Yeah, that's shortly followed by the seminar on helping newspapers not go out of business. And nobody's showing up for that one.
Yeah. So.
Well, I want to go
maybe
back
that
to Brad's point, though, about bigger companies. Is
that all the idiots.
Just the ceiling just goes boom, and that's it.
The enticement, though, is that, you know, as an artist, you're going to want that validation of like, oh, Marvel likes me, or DC likes me, or Zuda likes me, or Dark Horse, or Platinum, or anybody. And the fact is they literally are scrambling right now to figure out how to make their next quarter's paychecks and figure out their accounts payable.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime... I honestly feel like we have a stronger stance of outlasting a lot of media companies you could name that are in print.
Yeah, and you can say no to each of these guys.
Right.
They need you to say yes. They're the ones over the barrel.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you don't need them. You don't need a publisher. You don't need a syndicate. You don't need a marketing company. A lot of this stuff has been opened right out to you, but you do have to be willing to do the work.
You know, it's really funny.
You know what, can I make a really good example of that,
actually?
Go ahead. And I've never met her, and I say this because I actually think she's one of the most talented cartoonists going, so I think she's a great example.
Thanks, man.
Scott Kurtz is pretty. She's got a great set of eyes.
Buy a lady a drink?
No. So Kate Beaton, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her last name.
Oh, yeah.
I've never said it out loud.
Yeah.
But... Okay, so it's good. A lot of you know her work. But here's the thing. I think that Kate, and I've never met her, so I'm putting words in her mouth. I think even Kate would acknowledge that she did a lot of things wrong in the sense that she uploaded terrible GIFs that looked like, I'm talking about the early work, you know, that looked terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them were pencil sketches that badly granulated and
graded. Yeah, I've only known, though, her later, like, polished stuff.
Her later stuff, and she's getting better and better. But what I'm saying is, from a marketing standpoint, the site keeps going down. She's not necessarily been, I think, tech savvy. And I'm not saying this in a mean way. We all, as web cartoonists, have had various problems that we didn't know, you know, how to
But Kate.
No, but what I'm... No, but here's my point. Here's my point, because I want to go back to the point that I honestly think she's one of the most talented people going in comics right
but.
Now. But here's the thing, is that one of the reasons why she's blowing up in numbers and doing such gangbusters is that the work itself is carrying through all these otherwise big hiccups that you would not forgive of a media company. Like, if Random House site did that, you'd be like, you know, I'm never going
back.
They're
dying. Yeah,
but
what's wrong?
You want to keep going back to Hark of Adrian or her Live Journal site or wherever you can find her comics this week, because it's so damn good.
It is really good.
And that's what I'm saying, like, Brad saying you don't need a PR person, you don't need a syndicate, you don't need a marketer. Why that's important is if your art is good, nothing in the world can stop you when you're online.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm saying, Kate's had problems getting her stuff out, and nothing is stopping her from growing because her work is so damn good. You know?
I agree with
you. Suddenly I realize I'm becoming my mother. Who's doing the dishes? Why is that? Just angry. Like making a point. Oh.
At least you're not like my dad. You make a good point. You started a good point. By the way, that's where I come from. It comes from my dad, where he's like, with these, you know, that's why you just make good work, just like Kate Beaton. And that's the problem with these fucking liberals. You know, and then by the end of it, it's like, God damn, America's going to hell in a handbasket. Right. And you're like, what about Kate Beaton? He's like,
he's throwing a chair. Ah.
He's already out the door on the lawn. Just
on the lawn rolling.
Deutschland, Deutschland, Deutschland.
Before we let too much more time go by, do you think we ought to start doing some questions and answers?
Nobody has any questions.
No, there were questions.
We had some questions.
Nobody has any answers. No.
The question right
still
over there?
Still don't see a question.
So what do you know? Just so you
still
guys know,
don't see a question.
Go ahead and yell it out, but we're going to repeat it into the mics for the podcast. So, all right. Yeah, go ahead.
He's asking if when Marvel and DC and maybe the bigger companies decide that the way they're doing comics right now is not working, you know, how is it going to change? And will they be? Well, look, I still work with a traditional comic company. I work with Image, and I recently stopped the monthly PvP comic book. I'm going to finish. I think I'll get to 50 and then stop. Oh. There's two reasons for this. The first reason is that I don't produce enough work to fill 24 pages of comics, two strips a page. I mean, that's over 40, 45 strips a month, and I only draw, you know, before I was on 7 days a week, it was only 30 strips a month. Now it's even less. So eventually I was going to catch up with myself. But also because it's got to the point with it where – with the Image fee and all that, Image actually makes more money off the book than I do. It's still profitable for me. And actually, considering the economy and being a black and white humor book, PvP, the monthly book, is doing so much better than it should. And I'm blessed. And it's kind of silly to cancel it. But I'm hanging on to it more out of nostalgia. You know, it's like people say the same.
It's the nostalgia
phase. It's the nostalgia of I grew up reading comics, and I wanted my comic on the shelf, and I want a new cover every month. I love drawing the covers and seeing the covers, but at the end of the week, at the end of the year, if I look at my online business versus my Image business, the books that I made and sold online is 2 to 3 times more than what I sold through the direct market through Image. And not only that, that's just the number of books sold. The number of money I made per book is even a bigger difference between the two, because with the stuff I sell through the direct market, Image gets a cut, Diamond gets a cut, the retailer gets their cut.
Well, I guess my real question is, if all four of you guys I know grew up on comics, you get your trade, you know, get your polls on Wednesday, and that's just how we grow up. News is going to go to blogs, but it's still going to be news. Comics is
going to
go away.
I've got a thought on that.
Yeah.
Has webcomics changed after – has webcomics really gone so much past the standard newspaper comic strip model? A lot of them are still the four-panel setup.
Yeah.
I mean there's different shapes. There's different derivations. But we haven't really gone that far away from what a newspaper comic strip is, and that's because a newspaper comic strip format works, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be four panels. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
there's a certain magic in the newspaper comic strip, and
so,
might be a certain, especially in the early days, there's going to be a certain amount of that carrying over into the web from a comic book, because that 32 page issue is something that's manageable by a penciling and an inker and a writer, and a certain amount of those constructs are things that really work for a reason beyond just simple printing issues. There are labor issues too.
A curmudgeonly thing to say, Brad. You have no faith in the new ways.
No, I really do think that's the case.
No, my point, like the 32 page.
No, I know, but my point was like that's
idea.
That's looking so far forward that I don't know that we can predict it. But I know that if
no,
if my well.
All right, Marvel, hire me. No, but they if Spider-Man, they are, we got to put it on the web. And they, but they do away with a 22-page book, and it's just like scroll 5,000 pixels, and Spider-Man's swinging, right? And it's like, no, I don't want to read that. I want to read it formatted like.
Yeah,
a
I mean, look what Marvel just did. They put Spider-Woman on the web, and it's like some Clutch Cargo cartoon. It's shit. But yeah. The thing is, when you say, "What are our kids going to read?" Our kids aren't reading comics now. We're reading comics. What I'm saying is, kids, what kids are reading now are more like manga stuff. And Pokemon, you give them a book, they read it a bajillion times, and then you give them a new book and they read it a bajillion times. We're the ones that what's going to happen. I think what's going to happen in comics is if the monthlies are going to survive, what's going to happen is the new generation is going to have to come in. You already see it kind of happening, right? But there's this whole generation, especially at Marvel and DC, of the nostalgia of continuity and the characters, and you know, Earth Prime and Earth Two, and you know. And now it's kind of growing into this infinite crisis on identity rape comic or whatever the fuck the event shit is, you know, like Planet Hulk, you know. Then no one cares. They just want a good comic. And that's why All-Star Superman kicks ass. Because it's just like, let's have these interesting people tell a Superman story. We all know Superman. It doesn't matter if it fits in continuity. I just want a badass Superman story. Grant Morrison and – is it Grant Morrison?
Is he doing
and quietly, who's All-Star?
Morrison and Quietly.
Morrison, right? Amazing.
And Toni Morrison, I think, is also doing one, right?
No. All-Star Superman is an amazing Superman
Jim
book.
Morrison.
And it's, you know, and it's 12 issues, and then they'll do something else. I think they're moving on to Batman and Robin now. And I want to read that because I don't care if it fits in continuity. I just want a good Batman and Robin story.
Can I make an analogy that I think – because having us predict what the formats are going to be is kind of ridiculous because no one in the room knows. But here's where I think an analogy can be drawn out, and that's the video game industry. When the video game industry was locked into a physical video game that you had to go to a machine and put 25 cents in or 50 cents in, or the more expensive Gauntlet ones where you had to put a dollar in and you were angry.
Gauntlet was awesome.
But when you had to, when there was a physical product that you had to go to, in a way, there was
the
more
food.
Limitation because that machine could only do so much. When they brought it into home units, and this is where I think there's a parallel in terms of a metaphor in a way, is that there were more possibilities. So yes, you could still do the side, you could still do the one first-person shooter, you could still do the sideways scroller, but then when you were at home, all these other possibilities in terms of accessories, in terms of Wii Fit, this kind of stuff, you know, block.
And community.
And you couldn't predict that. Yeah. But you knew that some of those old forms would stay, and the 32, the graphic novels will stay, the short stories will stay, but all this new stuff that we have never seen before will blossom out online, I think, and that's I think that's a great thing. We'll still have the newspaper format, but we'll have guys that break the newspaper format, and it's gonna be magical. It's gonna be so beautiful.
There's two guys in the back here.
Yeah.
From Transmission X.
Hey-o, there they are.
These guys back here represent what is going to happen to comic books. Because right now, I don't want to speak for anyone else up here on the panel, but. A lot of us are comic strip artists, so we do more of the Garfield strippy stuff that you see. But I always feel like I've been kind of faking it, you know. Like if you go back to 1998 and look at PvP's artwork, I've been kind of faking my way and learning as I go. But I used to tell this to Mike Ringo. When guys as talented as Carl and Mike Ringo and the Morrisons, when they decide, fuck it, I'm going to make my own webcomic. And that comes – if you've ever been to the Transmission X website, it is clean and professional and draftsman and hot and gorgeous, and it is compelling.
Yeah.
And the art – and you're like, holy shit, this is like the pros. And it's new stuff and it's fresh. And once that hits, it's going to force – you know, once the pros come and grok it and get it, then it's going to all – then all this wonderful new stuff's going to start coming.
Right.
And so – No,
well,
Marvel
no. Look, I'm not
die.
Predicting Marvel and DC. The money that's flowing in from movies is going to keep them going for
the
decades.
The retail
and decades.
Stores will die the way that they are now.
Retail stores will probably go. Most of them.
The monthly pull list shit is going to go. It'll be more bookstores. I mean,
and quite honestly, Borders is probably going to go. A lot of Barnes and Noble are
going
to go.
I
mean,
I thought
a lot
Borders
of
was already going.
Well, they're in. I think they're in Chapter
11.
Yeah.
Who here has ever been to Austin, Texas? All right. There's a bookstore there, a comic book store called Austin Books. And I noticed that it's not Austin Comic Books. It's Austin Books. And sure, they have their little section of the monthlies. But they have – it's you've been there.
Yeah, it's just trades.
It is wall-to-wall graphic novels and trades. And it's just like – I mean, I spend so much money when I go in there. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you walk out with something. It's just comics I never even knew existed. And it's like there is enough of this stuff to keep a retail outlet alive.
Can I talk about, let's change gears for a second, because I want to talk about something. The brilliance that I think we haven't seen yet is the really business-minded person who thinks and knows that they can co-opt the talent of artists, not one artist, not two artists, but maybe 20 artists, and say, look, I'm going to fund your books. I'm going to fund all your t-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm going to make your website work because we got these three guys that are doing it.
Right.
Because none of the artists in the world want to have to deal with their JavaScript or, you know, I don't want to wake up in the morning and have to go, what's this PHP code? What do I, oh, God, I don't, ugh.
You know what? You're right, because that hasn't happened yet.
That hasn't happened yet.
People have come and pretended that's happening.
What I'm talking about is like a Robert Koo that comes in and says, look, I'll either got my own angel funding and I'll do it, or we'll get some VC money and, you know, or if Marble would come in and say, like, look, I don't want my traditional, you know, whatever 80% cut or, you know, whatever ridiculous thing it is on the title price.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you a significant chunk. It's not going to be you're going to make 100% of the net, but maybe you'll make 80%. And would you be willing to hand it over? And through volume pricing that they can get working with Transcon or something. I actually think that if say Joey Manley was handling his business differently, that could work. But that hasn't happened yet.
All that we've seen so far are people outside of comics saying, "Well, maybe this online comics thing is hot." Like they'll see something like this.
And they go, "Whoop, my last name."
Yeah, exactly. Well. But
for that year and a half, it's like we got a business model. We're making money. We're paying out.
It's like
we got desks.
When Virgin Comics was starting up in India or whatever, and they were like, "Hey, here we go, $5 million." Oh, we lost a lot of money. Oh God.
Or what we see are people that present themselves as that, but they're just IP farms. You know, like Zuda or Platinum.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really scary. But no one has actually legitimately done it to try to make it work.
And that's what I'm saying. If someone in good faith came to 20 talented artists, you know.
Everyone pull 20 bucks out.
Here's my question.
Let's do this now.
Would you sign that contract?
I wouldn't, but if I was...
Neither would I.
Which contract?
That contract, that imaginary.
Oh. But if I was no, Brad. I might, for some of it. And that's the thing. You say I wouldn't sign a contract now as if anyone offering a contract is bad. I have a contract right now with Image Comics, and I'll tell you why, motherfucker. Because people keep asking me this, like, well, you're on here every week. You're preaching about doing it on your own. You make more money selling them on your own. Why are you still with Image? And I'm going to be honest with you. A part of it is nostalgia. I mean, Image was there promoting me when nobody in print gave a shit about PvP. They were the first guys to go web comics. They put me on the goddamn cover of Previews, which is a big deal. And they did it because Jim Valentino believed in it and Eric Stevenson believed in it. And I can't get over that to just go to them and say, I'm going to go do it on my own, guys, and say goodbye to them. But the other thing is that, yes, they take a cut of the books they do publish and sell for me, and it's too big of a cut, and I could keep that money on my own. But they store all the stuff for me. They front the capital to get a lot of my trades printed. They if I go to a convention, like when I went to New York Comic Con, I said to Tracy Huey over at Image, I'm going to New York Comic Con, so are you guys. I need 40 of each of my books and 30 of the new trade. And they're like, no problem. And I just walk my ass into the con, walk over to the Image booth, and they just stack boxes on my hands, and I walk to my booth. You know, so there are beneficial relationships with vendors. If you consider Image a vendor. But you can have a beneficial relationship with a vendor that works for both people. The problem is that everyone comes up and goes, hey, I think we could work together and really make something beautiful. And what he's really saying is, I am going to fuck you in your ass.
Do you mean that? But no, I agree 100%. Because you can't trust the motive. And
no.
What is they're coming to you and what they're saying is, we have no content and we want to... Yeah,
and
we want to screw you.
The only reason that Image does it is because it's Larson and McFarlane and Silvestri, and they all made their millions, and they're like, let's do this for the kids. And they made Image Central, which is nonprofit. And I know this happens like once every 5 years. They all get together, and McFarlane and Silvestri's like, what the fuck are we doing? Let's get some contracts. A lot of these Image Central guys are making movies. We don't make any money off of it. And I guarantee you that Valentino and Larson are like, no, come on, guys. That's not what this is about.
Yeah.
And as once they decide they're done with that, which is why I think it's really great they brought Robert Kirkman in as a partner, because Kirkman's a younger generation, because soon these guys might get to the age where they retire and they don't care anymore and they want someone like-minded to keep that principle going.
Yeah.
But and that's why I always promote
sort of like
image.
A Willy Wonka sort of a thing.
Yeah. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. Robert, you... Well, what's the quote? You drank... Come on, scream it. Do it. Please. God damn it, please. But put Robert Kirkman's name in there.
Oh, no. You're going to do Willy Wonka? Go ahead.
This is Chris's impression of how Robert Kirkman became a founder.
Partner
Day, sir,
image. That one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
You stole
fizzy lifting drinks. What was it? And that
Yep, already moving on. All right.
I love how it was set up like Chris does an amazing Willy
Chris
Wonka.
Chris does it.
I've never heard him do it, but here it is.
Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka.
I've never watched.
Let's go to our next question.
Who's got it? Yes, the gentleman in the goatee. Rare in the comics industry. All right, yes.
You spoke about losing the younger generation.
Yeah.
But with Generation X, you know, we grew out of the spike phase, we got mortgages, and we're getting older. We're more tech savvy than the boomer generation, I would say. Is there going to be a growing audience for that Generation X? So just like the old lady in Peoria that looked forward to
all right, so just in case that mic didn't pick it up.
That's what's happening now.
I'm going to real quickly encapsulate that.
Encapsulate.
The question was,
That's on the podcast.
Blanking on the first part of the question. Oh, in the same way that people at one point looked at their newspapers and be like, I want my Andy Cap because I need my domestic abuse kind of comic strip. Will there be an aging a Generation X that's, with bifocal contacts on clicking on PvP to read? Do we retain it? Once that youth-centered culture gets older, is what you're saying, basically.
I think without a doubt there's a graying of the internet already.
Yeah.
And I've got the hair to prove it.
Will PvP...
I know, I click slower.
Will PvP and Sheldon one day be considered trite garbage? Well, guess what?
That day has arrived.
Yeah, that's...
Here we are.
I had a... it was today, so she's... probably here, and it's going to be embarrassing, but this really pretty girl came up, real pretty young girl, and I'm like, hello, in my head, not to her, but...
But I was
thinking, wow, she's really attractive. Holy crap. And she comes up, she's like, I've been reading PvP since I was 10, and I'm like, what?
I've got to go.
And then I just go, I'm sorry.
No, so let's try to answer the question, because that's actually you always come to me and be like, what's going to happen? PvP readers are eventually going
to
give up.
I did that last night when I was drunk to Chris. I go, I'm scared. Why? What if nobody reads me next year? And that's not going to happen.
You're going to be okay.
You're going to be okay.
Can I answer that? And then you can go.
Please, yeah, because I'm scared.
So I can only speak for myself. I actually think that the people that read Sheldon were not first adopters of the internet. And I consider, even up until maybe the late 90s, still were first adopters in the internet. And after that, my mom got on. And then it's like, all right, there's no more first adopters anymore. But I actually think that once older people get on and a different kind of personality that's not on a computer a lot or not around tech as much as the... Because, it's not an accident. Look at the strips that did really well right out of the gate. It's Penny Arcade. It was... PvP was much more pop culture and video game centered at first.
Yeah.
CAD, blew up really big for a while there. And I'm trying to think... But basically... Anything that was very...
The triumvirate, yes. Thank you. Triad of classics.
Triad. No, but you get where I'm going with this, is that that's not an accident. That wouldn't have happened on a newspaper page, but it happened for the first 10 years of the internet when pop culture and the internet started to really click. I actually think that for my title, the growth curve is going to get exponential as more people that weren't traditionally spending their life around technology or pop culture to the nth degree start to go more and more online as their newspapers disappear, as their magazines disappear. So I actually think titles like mine will continue to do better. And I continue to think that you only have one way to go, which is up. We're making a living off really small numbers of readers when you think about it by any traditional standard. And I only need to tap into an nth of a percentile of the English-speaking world to make a really good living, a really, really good living.
But here's another thing is that I don't want to... I guess I'll be the guy that does it, but I don't want to insult anyone that does webcomics. What? Like, I have no problem with that. Not to insult anyone that does webcomics.
Cut to the 19th for the afternoon.
Yeah, we were. Brad and I were discussing the other day on the phone, or maybe over IM. We were discussing. I was kind of thinking about the internet from when I started, and I'm like, what the fuck happened to user friendly and Sluggy Freelance? Like, I remember being the guy that was trying to knock Sluggy Freelance off of some webcomic list. Like, they were the
Big
guys
Panda
to beat. But yeah, Big Panda was one of
yeah
them. And I'm like, whatever happened to Sluggy Freelance and user-friendly, because is that what's going to happen to us? Well, one day someone would be like, what happened to PvP? And I went and checked out both user-friendly and Sluggy Freelance. Now, I'm not saying they're good or bad. I was never into either, but I see the merits of them. But if you look at Sluggy Freelance or user-friendly today, nothing has changed. The art is not different. The websites are different. Are the same.
No, it's like
no, they're
from
identical.
96.
It's like you went to the page from 1998. I mean, nothing has changed. If you go to the first Superosity strip and look at the current Superosity strip, there's actually a difference. You know, I mean, it seems like there's a group that is morphing and evolving. I mean, look at Penny Arcade. Go back to the first Penny Arcade, and yeah, you think it's a video game strip, and now it's still a video game strip, but a lot of it has changed. There's been a you're reinventing yourself. You're like Madonna. You kind of reinvent yourself as you go.
Well, and that's what I and not to
what?
Turn this
I
in.
Like that.
Yeah,
I'm like Madonna.
But you know, that is one thing, and I've paid Scott this compliment in private, and I don't mind doing it in public. And that is that. What's really neat about PvP is that it, if you look at it, there's been a tremendous change even over the past 12 months. His site changes, his site presentation changes, and your art
that was all
really
Tyler
changed,
Martin.
And your approach to doing comics has really changed. And I think
because
the
I'm
ability
scared
to
I'm coming on 40, and I've been doing it for 10 years, and I got really scared. I had like a midlife crisis at the 10-year anniversary. Like, oh no, people are going to stop reading. And
is that why you started changing your art?
Yes. I got terrified. I had like I drove my wife crazy, but I had a midlife crisis because I was like, oh, wow, I'm coming up on 10 years. What other strips have made it to 10 years? And then I'm like, where's User Friendly and Sluggy Freelance? They're gone. What if that's going to happen to me? What are people going to be like? Oh, what's going on in PvP today? Oh, 10-year anniversary. 10 years. Pfft, fuck that. What's a new strip? I'm done with PvP. I really was afraid of that. And that's why I was like, oh, shit, I've got to tell all my stories. Brent and Jade get married. Skull goes away. We find out his origin. Marcy and Francis, they level and they're going to be okay. So you know they're going to be okay. So everyone got to do the things that I wanted them to do. And
but
then
like
it's
before
like,
the network can cancel you,
yeah,
you're
exactly
like, oh, I got four more episodes.
Right. It's like, I got to find out what happens with the fucking journeyman. Why is he traveling in time? right,
so that,
they should never have canceled that.
So that's why after the 10-year anniversary, everybody was just sitting around for like a couple weeks.
literally went, this
you
was
know
like,
what?
This that, was PvP.
That explains
that.
That
it was like,
yeah. Everybody just panicked.
What are you up to today, Skull? Not much.
Well, that's. Yeah.
Oh, God. So
but
the
there
story
was all this
so
really,
much exposition.
There was all this really epic shit going on, and now it's like Star Wars joke. Because it's like, oh, shit, okay. It's not.
It's
maybe
cycling.
It won't go away, you know?
But that's that's probably as good as answer better than mine is the two differences in opinion there is that but I do think that I'm not holding my mic right. I do think that Scott has a valid point is that it's good to be scared and it's good to because your audience can disappear like that. Unlike a newspaper where once Beetle Bailey is in and that editor has bought it, they are never virtually never going to take that thing out. You know, your readers have a choice every day to say like
no
meh,
one reads the comics,
you know?
Just comfort. So, it's like, shit, my life is falling apart. Flip to the comics page, and there's Andy Capp going, shut up, whore! And you're like, oh.
You don't even read it.
Wait.
I tell you what, I read it for the subtext. It's got a lot of...
It's got a lot of
social commentary. Yeah.
Listen, Andy Capp's not
that
just about
so
the best that could be.
That is so me.
Andy Capp, oh. He speaks to my life.
Lamb of God.
You know,
Lamb of God.
He always comes into the panel from the left. His wife always comes in from the right. And if you read a book.
Read a book, asshole.
Read the book, asshole.
That, by the way, is a running joke that we've been doing since
Capsicon. Oh, tell that joke, guys.
Capsicon? So we came up with this guy
who... Oh, God,
who,
I let us into another
he's
rabbit
like
hole.
This, I don't know if it's a Jersey accent or what, but the idea is that...
The accent we always
that he's
do.
He's always trying to... He's like, the voice we always do. He's trying to... he's always taking this twist on manga like it's a perfect metaphor for World War II. So he's like, and, listen, just hear me out. Hear me out. Shonen Jump. Shonen Jump is a perfect metaphor for why the Italians are let...
a fascist regime, which promised to make the trains run on time, and they did, like
well,
in Shonen
just,
Jump.
I just like to. I just like
you know what?
I
you know what? You're not paying attention. Read a book, asshole. You know what?
And you're like, oh! And
the comparison makes itself. Oh! You know what? Shonen Jump, Mussolini, they're like that.
Well, what's funny is I wasn't there for that, and they told me that story, and now I just like the phrase. Because it sounds... I like the phrase because it's a guy going like... He's explaining something, and you don't get it.
Every internet forum you've
ever been on. It's because he's wrong. But because you don't get it, it's like, read a book,
asshole.
You
got to read it,
It's like that guy, my friend, that when he's like, oh, what was that quote from? And he goes, Back to the Future 3, do your fucking homework if you're going to come out with it. But now today, it was tempting because someone's like, I'm really excited about making webcomics. And how, you know, how do you build community? And I wanted to take the book, How to Make Webcomics, and go, buy the book, asshole.
Well, do we have time to take another
question?
He's
got a question. Oh, yeah, what's the deal? Do we have to clear out?
We got an hour. So we have like another 30 minutes or
we
something.
Got another 30 minutes.
30.
We're good. All right. Sweet.
People, it's like a marathon. People running up, bringing us little cups of water. All right. Yeah. Good question.
How do you guys see webcomics as a community reaching outside the current webcomics audience? Like last night, I had a girl at a bar. So what's
wow, you had a girl at a bar last night?
That is the webcomics community growing.
That question, so he could
what
brag.
Up, hey,
web comics creator getting a date. Yeah. We are growing as a community. Hey, read a book, asshole. Hey.
Way to handicap that shit.
All right. So the question was, to repeat for the podcast, how is web comics growing as a community? And going, I tell you what, and I haven't done it yet, and it's my own darn fault, but stuff like the Kiva.org thing where Dinosaur Comics and Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal encourage web comics creators to get their readerships to donate to Kiva.org, which is a it's a small business, an entrepreneur.
It's a microloan.
It's a microloan. It's essentially like the Grineen Bank, if you know the Grineen Bank, that does microloans to the third world. And Penny Arcade with Child's Play.
Child's Play is insane.
And us all letting Brad hang out with us. I mean, we're all like letting... we're all growing as a community, I think.
What's really interesting about that community reaching out beyond comics is I get this more with the book and the podcast than with my strip. But this... It was you, right? This gentleman here was talking to me last night and said, I really love your podcast. I really love your book. I don't do a comic. I'm not interested in comics. But what is it that you work on that you applied it to?
The human slave trafficking, right?
In Washington. Right.
No, we're not joking.
No, it's
sadly,
real.
We're not joking.
That's
like, he told Brad and I at KatsuCon, and we're like, "Huzza huzza!" And it's around the D.C. area, right? That you deal. It's mostly textile worker and sex slaves, right? In terms of human slave trafficking, and we were blown away. We're like, "How to make web comics is helping with that?"
He was your chapter on community building.
From that book, things that we had talked about, mainly community building that Dave was had written the chapter on. He was using parts of that book to apply to what he was doing to curtail slave trafficking in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, that in itself kind of deserves a round of applause.
Yeah.
So, you know how they always say that your teens and your 20s are your selfish years, you know? And then once you start getting a family and you start seeing community and the impact that you have in your community, you grow. And I think... As more and more webcomics creators start to make their own living and they start to feel safe and like, all right, my income's going all right, you're going to start to see more outreach. And it's actually going to be pretty powerful because some comics creators have hundreds of thousands of readers at their fingertips and say, you know, if they just point them to a cause, you know, with like Child's Play, amazing things can happen when those guys direct the readership. And I was that basically your question in terms of – no, not at all. We told him to –
Very helpful, right?
Oh.
It's like, how can I take advantage of people?
I need to know how to manipulate humanity. That's what I want.
What's the website, Slave? That sounds, I like that.
He's in the back going, read my book, Ed.
I just wanted to tell you guys I banged a chick last night at the bar.
Are you talking about, like, reaching outside of the existing webcomics community?
Oh, so it's not the same 200,000 nerds reading it. It's like...
Well, I've got a good thought on that, and I don't think that it's so much web cartoonists reaching out to a new readership. I think what happens is that readership flows inward. I don't focus so much on trying to reach beyond it because I know that over and over again when I see it happening, like XKCD comes up, And this guy brings in a tremendous amount of new readers, people who wouldn't generally be webcomics readers, into the fold. All of a sudden, they discover what a webcomic is. They start coming in. They get the hang of the things that you and I take for granted, the navigation. What?
Nothing.
They take conversation. Oh, okay.
See your way out.
Be on the podcast. But
I know that's secret podcast.
But they bring in people like that into the fold, and what happens through that is that that person now figures out what a webcomic is, and then figures out that there are other webcomics out there. Sooner or later, some of those people that were unfamiliar with webcomics that came in the door through XKCD are going to find their way to Evil Inc. and be incredibly disappointed.
You missed the joke.
Good one, Brad.
So true.
So true.
We have time for one more question. One more question.
But it's got to be the best one, though. If you've got a land question,
and three hands went down.
What's your favorite color?
I was going to ask about micropayments.
You're very confident back there. Can you talk about the challenge of evolving your skills and also evolving your content?
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? What specific angle?
The idea of the concept that you
No.
the characters, how they evolve, it seems to me that there's two challenges there. One is, how do you keep engaging interesting subjects, dialogue, concept? And then there's
Can I?
Yeah. You just did this.
Yeah.
We have another half hour now?
Oh, okay, great. Let me answer. I think it's two things, and Scott, you mentioned one of them. I think it's fear and boredom. It's the two things. And I, like, Starslip recently, I changed how I draw it, and I retitled it, and I rebranded it, and all this stuff. And it was because I was terrified that I was getting to a point in my storytelling that I wasn't going to...
Readers at home might not know
that I wasn't going to have a situation that it was too thick. People couldn't jump in. It was impossible to read, and I was getting tired of doing it too. So I had to change it, and like that's why it's shaded, and that's why you're shading PvP now.
Well, can I tell you why I started shading PvP?
Yeah, okay.
I don't have time to color it. I really don't. And mostly because... Oh, awesome.
Hey, double secret podcast.
But you know what? We were actually being funny. Brad just goes, David, secret podcast. How wow, wow, wow.
No, actually what I was saying in his head was...
He's literally doing that theater thing of peas and carrots, peas and carrots, peas and carrots.
The human torch took out a bank loan. The human...
Sibilance.
I feel like I have a mental block when it comes to colors, and I have anosmia. I can't smell. And when I was a kid, I didn't tell my parents because I thought it was that I had to be smart enough to know how to smell, and I didn't. No. Because when in the 80s,
I'm like little Scotty Kirk.
Do you remember Scratch and Sniff stickers? Well, everyone had Scratch and Sniff stickers. They're like,
and for you, they were
like,
just Scratch.
Yeah, they're like.
Oh.
Dad, thanks so much for the Scratch stickers. These are great. I love them so much. I'm having so much fun with my Scratch stickers. Yeah. I'm going to name my cat Scratch.
But I was afraid to tell my parents because I thought they would be like, oh, we need to hold you back a year because you need to learn how to smell. I was afraid to tell them. I know, it's stupid. But I kind of feel like that way about color. Like, I feel like something is broken in my brain about color because when I'm like, okay, I got to pick a color for this shirt, I just freeze. But if it's like, what tone of gray should this be? No problem. Click. I know exactly what to do. And why I wanted to add some tonality to it is because whenever someone's like, you'll see like a list
of...
No, but it's like the 10 web comics you should be reading or, you know, the 5 comics I jerk off to or whatever it is. And it's always like a panel or a clip. Everyone's art always looks really awesome in color, and then it's just like PvP, like black and white.
It's like doing that. Yeah. I joke because that's
like
my comic.
It's like eyes, Brent and Jade, like, it's so dark. The lights went out. What
yeah.
Do?
And it's always Jade going.
Yeah. You
More skull going, woo.
But the other half of that question is it's also, there's fun to be had when you redo it. I mean, when you lose the joy, you really do lose the joy. God bless America. Oh, I lost that point entirely. No, but when you're
your readers can tell when you're bored.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your
Before
readers can
you
tell
know.
When you're bored.
Yeah.
And,
I'm sorry.
No, Brad.
No, talk about bored readers.
Talk about bored readers. This is good.
Bored readers I know about. No, I'm
panel two of Evil Inc., you know.
I wanted to build on that, and that is, and it's something I say all the time, and you can't see it on the podcast, but Scott always rolls his eyes when I say it, but I really do believe that this is true. It's impossible to get worse at something you do every day. And the more you do, the more you...
When do I roll my eyes at that? No.
We did a panel like a year or so ago, and we actually got into a discussion about this.
Oh,
but I really
wrong.
Do feel that it's impossible to get worse at something you do every day. And
wrong.
The more you do it, at first when you're doing your comic strip, you're just trying to get the people to look the same from panel to panel to panel. After year one or two or God knows three, you start to learn how to do that. And you start to get better and better and better, and pretty soon you're not focusing on the basics. You can start to free up yourself to focus on other things, maybe creative lettering, maybe other things that come up, and you've got that other stuff down pat. You can do it in your sleep. It's impossible to get worse at it because you're doing it day after day after day.
The biggest challenge, though, is that readers hate change, and you have to soldier through that. Because it doesn't mean they don't like what you're changing. They just don't like the act of changing. And that's the case. Because, like, I get really bored with my websites, and I want to change the design. So I was seeing this pattern where I would change the website, and all this email would flood in, like, I cannot believe this. This website was perfect, and you changed it, and I hate the new site, and why did you do that? I like the old site better, and this is shit, and change it back, and I don't like organize.
Can I laugh for a second? Because I realize that I am that person. Remember? Well, no, only
just one
because
person. It's Dave.
This last weekend, the four of us have been talking about two new projects that we're going to do together. And every time you guys are like, "Oh, this is going to be great," I'm like, "Nope." I'm like that vulture from the Warner. "Nope." And you guys are like, "Come on, it's a anyway."
But I change the website anyway, and then I stress about it. I mean, I freak out and I tweak it, and when I shouldn't. But what's interesting is the last time I changed the website, I got an email from someone that said. You know, I'm like, God, this email sounds familiar. So I checked my Google All Mail and searched for his name. And the last time I changed the site, he said the same thing. So now the site that he hated, he loves. And he's mad that I just changed it. And so I sent him his old email. I'm like, fucking stop emailing me. Because you stress me out. But it's just
But the thing is, you can only stay mad at Brad for so long. You know? Look at that face. I mean, how often do you see a Van Dyke nowadays? Come on.
It's the act of change that they're afraid of, and but the only thing scary in that is if you don't change and then they get bored and they really you won't hear from them.
Bored is worse. Yeah.
Why is Marmaduke in the paper then still? You know, why?
He's just a big dog. Who
why?
Thinks he's people.
Because he's a lovable, funny oaf.
No, he isn't. He should be put down.
But to bring it back to what we were saying,
when
I took Evil Inc. to color. The first day I brought it to, I started posting Evil Inc. in color. I looked at my inbox and I had a full inbox full of people. And I couldn't wait to get up in the morning to go and look at my email. All of them.
Thinking that it was all going to be like, hey.
All of them. What happened to black and white? I had people telling me that they preferred black and white. To the extent that I finally had to work with my host to have a button on my site that you could see, the strip would come up in color, but you could click a button to see the black and white version.
You never should have done that.
I did it. It wasn't a huge thing to do, but I've kind of phased it out. It's something
it's
that if I
now,
post
right?
the black and whites, they're there, but if I don't, they don't. And I've kind of slowly phased it out, and very rarely do I hear of anybody that wants to see the old black and white strip.
What's the black and white?
The first time I tried adding backgrounds to my strip, because I never used to have backgrounds.
That's right.
The first time I started adding backgrounds, I was so excited and proud of myself. I drew all the offices on a map to see how it would look in my head, I know. And I got all this email, like, take the backgrounds out, because that's not what the office looks like. And at the time I was talking to Scott McCloud, and McCloud's like, well, yes, you've done Shakespeare. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, you have your arch, your panel's the arch, and you have the characters and the props, and then the audience fills in the background. That's how they did it with Shakespeare. And I'm
God,
like,
typical
yeah,
McCloud.
Shakespeare.
God.
Shakespeare. But and now,
if you look at the meta text of your proscenium and
see Skull is like Macbeth and read a book, asshole.
Sorry.
But no, I had to for the longest time.
It's King Lear, all right? Read a book, asshole. Skull is clearly one of the daughters. Anyway, I don't know.
Five literature majors in the audience are like, oh, that's so rich and delicious. That works on so many levels.
But yeah, there was even a resistance to change of improving the artwork. So you just got to soldier through it. I hope that answers your question. Not.
And that was a pretty good one to end on.
Yeah, but then Meredith said, oh, well, we lied. You have like 30 minutes left if you want. Do you want us to keep going or do you want to stop?
Shall we do more questions? All right, who had a semi-good question that then dropped their hand? Our Mohawk in the back.
Hair.
Mohawk in
Faux
the back.
Hawk.
Hey,
Scott. Yeah.
How do you deal with being in webcomics and not have facial hair, was the question.
Thank you for reminding me about my sterility and my inability to have a family. Thanks, asshole. Actually, I gotta tell you something. I like it. Like, I didn't realize until this weekend what Chris goes through, because we were at dinner one night, and Brad looks over and goes, going a little fuzz? Going a little fuzz? Because I had, like, that stupid goat hair shit that I grow. And I'm like, oh, do I? Yeah, I had, like, just enough to make me look like a 13-year-old Hispanic kid trying to grow his first mustache. And so I said, why? No, this is going to look stupid. So I said, can I borrow your razor? And Chris goes, yeah, sure. And so, I mean, I've got a razor at home that I use, you know, once a month or whatever.
You didn't look at Chris's razor, did you?
No.
Just
I didn't
covered
look at
in
it.
Hair. Just
No. But he goes, I go, where's your shaving cream? And Chris is like, well, fucking shaving cream, pussy. I don't use shaving cream. Just go. And then I'm like, right. I don't use shaving cream either.
And he goes, not on my back.
And so I'm like, I just very gently... Just, and I've got like four or five like retarded hairs that are just like, what are we doing? You know?
Hey guys, what's up?
I love that.
Hey, where are we going? We gotta get out tonight? What are we doing?
Anybody
wanna go to TGI Fridays?
The blades on his razor are so sharp and made for his. Goddamn
horse, rich,
horse,
Arabian,
rich, Arabian beard,
Egyptian hair.
But I like. I went gentle, and I went cut. But like, I did it real quick, real gentle, and then I'm like, okay, cool. And then we go out, and I'm like, is this your face all the time? Does it burn like this? And you're like, no, it doesn't burn like that. What are you talking about? And I'm just like, oh, fuck.
Well, like it was like that a long time ago, but I got used to it.
Well, can I tell you? I thought you were going to be like, I'm genetically bred for the sands of Egypt. I am.
You see, like,
I can take that course. Right. This
you see, I
stand open.
I've got a full beard. Like, you're going to beard now? Oh no, I'm not. And I just go. Perfect.
Chris is like standing to the open face of Arrakis. He's like, blow, wind, blow.
Thank you, Dune.
Dune
yes.
reference.
Good
Dune
job.
Reference.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll cry myself to sleep next to my Eisner tonight, asshole.
We need another question.
Next question.
We need another question.
But apparently I'll keep this for a long time,
that's
right?
Good.
Do you plan another how to
thank you.
Together,
what?
What?
Do you guys plan make. Another how to make webcomic book or anything like that together?
Yeah, we're gonna sell a book called How to Really Make Webcomics.
Don't forget that crap.
What did you say? Webcomics?
How to Really Make Webcomics.
And it's like the little red dink dink, and it's like red written in script, you know, like a hand
right.
script. How to really, and there's a guy, us on the cover, like, wink, a little teeth flare.
Right. There's a picture of a guy reading How to Make Webcomics, and he's homeless.
Well, we're talking about a couple things that we're going to do, but that's a possibility. The problem is, as friends, we've never gotten to lower lows than when we wrote that book together.
That was so awful, guys.
We hated each other for
it
like
it was bad.
It was not fun.
And Brad did most of the work.
And at any
I
given,
know. And
at
Brad
any given
suffered.
Time, three of us were not talking to one of us. It was like, who are we not talking to this week? Chris, bleh. Not answering that email. I'd be like, who are we ostracizing?
That still happened.
Who are we ostracizing now, Brad? Bleh. Not taking his phone call. No. So
I kind of consider the podcast to be the second part of the book. I mean.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yeah.
Yes. How about webcomics.com? That's a thing, right? We like that.
You got some dead silence.
But Brad's been doing all the work on that. So
it's true. Yeah, also,
that's how all of our worthwhile projects. Brad's like, you guys suck. You suck so much.
That's why I'm scared to death of what you're saying taking root. It's like, hey, do you want to do another book? Fuck no, I'm doing all this stuff over here. They're all gonna say, hey, we want to do another book.
The rest of us are
book.
Like, let's go to Hardee's for a shake.
Haven't we caused enough problems already?
We should not do another book. We're done.
No.
We have talked. Like, we're at the, near the end of the second print run, and we've talked that we might tinker, like, to correct and update certain things. Like, Ads Deck's no good anymore, so we would take that one out of the book, and we'd get rid of all the chapters Chris wrote. I don't know. The podcast is really where we add to it. But that's a good question. All right, next question. Yes.
We think.
Potentially. Do you see that impacting print collections and webcomics?
No.
Okay, so the question was, did we... I'm realizing we forgot to repeat
questions. Oh, yeah.
We talked about print and other things going away. Do we see that impacting the print of webcomics? And I think no.
No.
I think by any traditional print standards, we sell very few books, but we don't need to sell very many books, and that's why it'll survive. It's not that much money to call up Transcon and say, hey, I want a run of 2,000 or 5,000 or 10,000. Well, 10,000 expensive.
That's 10, a lot. That's,
wow.
That's what Brad does.
Yeah, Brad over here. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No,
he's
and
that's Robert Goulet. Goulet.
And that goes to the heart of what we say all the time. This thing that we do gets misconstrued over and over. It's not print versus web. It's print plus web. As long as the web is your core, we make all of our money through.
God damn it!
That's on the podcast.
Make a big chunk of it doing print projects. And that's why I really get upset when I see a lot of this print versus web stuff. It's got nothing to do with print versus web.
It really doesn't, yeah.
So cool.
And I was listening.
Right,
I was listening to Brad, and I thought that was a good point.
I was trying to listen to Brad.
Guys, I had to get a fart joke in there.
Captain 9-year-old over here. Does that answer your question? Where are you? There you are. Okay.
Well, yeah. Listen, I think I said this on this podcast. I've lost track of time. When I compare the money I make on my books to the direct market and through, it's not even comparable because you keep all the money. So, and also because that's the directest supply and demand chain. Is that what you just said?
Directest. It is the directest.
And it's more better.
I'm waiting for the backhand. That is the
shut up, whore.
Read a book, asshole.
Capped.
Capped.
Cap.
The apostrophe D.
So you had a question. Yes, hat.
Indiana Jones.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da.
It's just because newspapers are losing audience.
Yeah,
and comics aren't a draw.
You try to find someone our age or younger finding a newspaper or reading a newspaper, actively seeking it out, and it just doesn't exist.
Or even
finding
a newspaper.
It's my mom still getting a newspaper, and kind of because she's always gotten a newspaper. I don't even know that my parents still are like, woo, newspaper's here, yeah! Wow. And you can feel, like, I live in L.A., and the Los Angeles Times, the Sunday especially, went from that thick to that thick to that thick. You know, as Tribune is slowly bleeding cash, you can see them getting rid of reporters. You know what I mean? It's literally like, I don't want to read this anymore.
Do they still do those TV ads where it's like, I like to read them on Thursdays? The
subscriptions. When you go to movies in L.A., the L.A. Times has taken out this like ad campaign. You remember these? Like you go to,
yeah,
and it's like all these like fun people like, I'm on the go, but reading the L.A. Times. And it's all it's like hair flickering. It's like they're in a Tresemme commercial. Wow.
The L.A. Times, especially for the spastic.
I actually think, okay, so let's talk for a second. Garfield, no problem. It'll survive online, no problem. Dilbert, no problem. It'll survive online. The ones that have an audience and that speak to an audience and that are good, regardless of what you or I subjectively think, you know, the good ones will survive if the creator and the syndicate is savvy enough to take advantage. Don't you think?
But the objectively bad ones will fail. That's your Marmaduke. That's your high and lowest. That's your...
And I immediately go out of list. That's your Love Is. That's your high and lowest. That's your Marmaduke.
But you know what? I think those older staple strips are the ones that will die first. Like, obviously, Peanuts is entrenched. because it's a part of the lexicon, it's part of our culture. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't think anyone's selling Marmaduke books. You know, Foxtrot books, Get Fuzzy, kind of the younger strips that are...
Pearls Before Swine.
Yeah, the ones that are kind of really, at least speaking to the younger crowd.
Yeah.
Or our generation, at least, and younger. They're actually...
But you're right,
actively,
Beetle Bailey. I mean,
there's no
what
Bailey
army
books.
Is that? That
I know.
Doesn't exist.
Like, you're telling me that the guys opening up Stars and Stripes are like, that's what? That's not the army I'm in. I, like, yeah, exactly. Beetle Bailey's like, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know?
Uh-oh, Sarge, we got to dismantle this nip bomb. You know, something ridiculously racist.
Yeah,
that,
like, that's nobody's
like,
army anymore.
Like, Beetle Bailey's an old Warner Brothers cartoon, you know?
It is,
where,
that they have to ban.
Yeah, they have to ban.
And they're hoping you forgot about that.
The one Bugs Bunny where they're like, never show that one! Don't show the one where Bugs fights the war. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Like, there's a Beetle Bailey
story. You guys know
Bailey
what we're talking
story.
About, right? Like, the old... Oh, my God. You ever watch those on YouTube and you're like, oh, Bugs, no! Don't fight Injun Joe! Oh my God, this is so embarrassing for everyone.
Oh my God,
involved.
Injun Joe.
Do you remember that one?
I forgot all about that.
It's like, stop it, Bugs! Stop it! It's like an alcoholic. Don't, Bugs! Don't!
You're
don't
just,
agree
you're
to this
sweeping
script.
All your memorabilia into the trash. Like, oh, Bugs.
And then Bugs is like, ain't I a racist?
And Warner Brothers saying. Trying so hard
what
to
was
hide
I?
Those ones.
Oh, there. I was saying that... when I was a kid and I was reading all about the comic strips because I wanted to just absorb anything I could that was about behind the scenes, there was this, a story from Mort Walker about, I guess there's a character in there that's the sexy secretary of the general.
Miss Buxom?
Buxley. And it was like the newspaper editor said we couldn't have exposed belly buttons, so I had a box of belly buttons because I had to X-Acto knife out the belly buttons. And I'm like, this comic exists still. Like, it's new today. Yeah. It is. It's a brand
you
new one.
You can read
today.
It right now.
It's like, and the syndicates
are pitching
it like.
Do you remember how Mort Walker got back at that syndicate editor that was doing that?
He dumped them all in his.
His big revenge was doing a strip that involved a crate full of navel oranges.
Oh, burn!
Oh, snap!
True story. That's a true story.
I can't even snap.
Oh,
so what was
snap.
The original question? Oh, so what will happen to the print guys? I think if they're savvy enough. The,
Well, listen, a lot of them keep on keeping on because the money's still really good for a lot of them.
And
they don't have to do a lot of work. I mean, the old standby joke of, like, I'm on the golf course by 11 a.m. is true for a lot of them.
Yeah.
But that is all going away for them, man. It's so fucking awesome. Fuck those assholes.
And when they try to get...
Listen, I'm telling you right now because these assholes have been saying, you know, you don't sell comics, you sell T-shirts, because they're like, I draw a comic and someone gives me money because it's a talent and I got paid for my talent. And you're like, no, fuck you. The only way to art is the money is it's called counterfeiting. And I said that at another panel. But it's, you know, everything is art leveraged to somehow bring money in. And all of these guys that are like, just around now because
the validity for them is that meeting that middleman that takes away.
I don't have to deal with the t-shirts.
Yeah, I don't have to think.
I don't
want to
make t-shirts.
I don't have to think about the fact that my cut is 20%.
But like, what I'm
saying, and I'm happy about that.
What I'm saying is, there's a mentality now in newspapers of, look, let's not rock the boats of the comic page. I don't want a lot of letters, so we'll keep the Heathcliff, we'll keep the Marmaduke, we'll keep Mother Goose and Grimm, we'll keep Curtis, we'll keep Blondie. And so every newspaper has those, and so it's essentially like micropayments or like whatever, however much they pay, which is not a lot. But for them, it's 200, 300, 400 papers. So the money comes in, and when those newspapers go away and they actually have to make a living beyond something let's just keep it in there because it's less of a hassle to not have it in there. And now they're in the paper because they have to survive on their merit. And not just because it's always been in there.
And
they're
yeah.
screwed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Mike Peters ain't going to sell any Mother Goose and Grimm mugs anymore.
Actually, I think Mike Peters on his own could be, like, taken away from that newspaper censor.
But, like, you know, the Marmadukes and stuff, that's just completely bereft, just drained.
But no one's going to brand and make a money off of Marmaduke if they actually have to sell it because it's content.
Yeah.
So I got really angry.
Yeah, you did.
A Mother Goose and Grimm movie? Oh, my dreams realized. The CG Marmaduke.
You're so happy.
Web Comics Weekend success.
Then Marmaduke.
Who's making the Marmaduke movie? What?
Mommy, you said.
Is it like one of those direct to VHS?
Yeah,
like
the Garfield. I'm curious to see if it's like, is it like theaters? Carol Coe or somebody? You know,
there's
used to make...
no characters. There's Marmaduke, and then there's the mustache guy and kid.
Yeah, Chris, maybe you don't get Marmaduke. You know what? Maybe you don't talk during this section
Chris,
of the panel.
Listen, Marmaduke, here's what you do. He's a big dog, right? You know he's a big dog. But you don't know how big until he gets in the car that's small. Right?
I know. What is that pitch? What is that pitch? They sit down. We got some exciting stuff for you today. You're going to love this. All right. He's a big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, the check. Thank you very much. All right.
Oh, man. That was
crazy
good.
Hijinks.
Crazy. All right.
They got to make up.
It writes itself.
It writes itself. You get a dog. You get one of those British mini cars. That's a movie that's itself. Ah!
You know how every pitch in Hollywood is like, it's Harry Potter and the X-Men meets the X-Men, you know? Right. It's like, it's Marmaduke is, remember that movie Harry and the Hendersons? Yeah. Okay, it's that.
No. It's Beethoven meets Beethoven.
Yeah.
But then wouldn't it be funny if we go to see Marmaduke and it
somebody leaned on the lights.
But then at the end of Marmaduke, we're watching.
It's like the last minutes of prom night.
And it's the mustache guy in the forest, the Marmaduke going, "We don't want you anymore! Slap!"
And Marmaduke, go home! He had to.
And then there's like a million Marmadukes. And then Don Amici goes, "I've seen them!" Dies.
I know, and then Marmaduke 2 is like, Marmaduke 2, puppies in perpetuity, and it's all these puppies. They're all big puppies, Brad.
It is big.
Look at all the big puppies. All right, there's another question. Yes, the old conflicting hands. I think the guy in the back, no, behind you, was...
the hat?
With the hat.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Can you imagine a few comic creators who are currently syndicated who would actually push some more boundaries once they found themselves free of the...
Well, that's why. Yeah, that's why I was saying Mike Peters. I think.
Yes.
So the question was, for the podcast, in case I didn't capture it, is given the removal of newspaper censorship, do you think some people would flourish?
Much like is Aaron Magruder that does the Boondocks, went on and I think the difference is that Aaron was always had that in him and
he wanted to do that
and he was held back. It's just like Frank Cho with Liberty Meadows. Mm-hmm. I mean, he always wanted to do that and he would fight the papers. I think that do you guys read Foxtrot?
And I don't even think, like, Gerwich never really wanted to do a comic strip. He always wanted to be in TV, right? I mean, the guys that know
was
him
that
better.
True?
Wasn't that always his
McGruder?
Desire? Oh. No, Gerwich.
No, Gerwich.
Who's Gerwich?
Nicholas Perry Gerwich. Perry
Bible. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, but as far as, like, removing censorship, yeah. I mean, there's going to be people that, like, for me, Sheldon isn't designed to be an all-ages family strip, so I'm not going to suddenly be like, all right, here we go. But there are people, and I think Mike Peters, that's why I made that point, is I actually think Mike Peters, with the removal of censorship, is one of those guys that would probably do Mother Goose and Grimm very differently, based on some strips.
Really differently.
I gotta tell you, he
gave a talk at Angoulême, and he was really funny in a way.
Mike Peters,
hello!
He could never
Coming
threaten
alive.
The existing branding of a strip, though.
I do this.
Oh, my fancy, yes.
And when I was there, I had a little handkerchief. I was like, woo! But anyway, yeah, so some people will flourish, and some people have always been self-limiting in their censorship, you know, so.
No, not really. It, like Dave said, there everybody assumes that with the web that it's open game on images and words, and what Dave would find out very quickly is that he thrives on a certain amount of self-censorship because his fans know that it's okay for their kids to come to his site. It's okay for grandma to come to the site. It's okay for
it's
everybody to
okay
come.
For
and you watch what he does on his site. He doesn't blog about off-color things. He keeps a pretty tight grip on the ads that get shown. And he flourishes because of that. To a certain extent, a certain amount of self-censorship with a reason, with an intelligent amount of thought behind it, is actually a very good thing for certain titles.
That's true, and it's not like, oh, we'll go to the web, now we can curse. Now well, there's no point. Well, that doesn't always work.
Well, not that. I think in adults that, like, you know, I read Penny Arcade, I read all sorts of stuff, and even adults that enjoy strips that have no limits, there's still a part of us that I would hope that still loves something like Sheldon that has an inherent sweetness, you know?
No, absolutely.
And so I have that side of me, but I choose to write for the sweeter, you know, inner child kind of side. And because if Sheldon suddenly had like a naked Valkyrie on the back of a dragon's, you know, and people are just going to town, I'd be like, well, that's not what I want when I came here. That's not. Like,
I do. So let's just let's make that happen. How can we make that happen?
No, and you know what?
That's my page site, SheldonNakedValkyrie.com.
I've done strips before where it was a little risque, and I've had people say, hey, listen, I want that at Penny Arcade. I don't want it here. And they read both, but they want it in the place that they expect it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And if you ask Mike Krahulik, who draws Penny Arcade, if you weren't doing Penny Arcade, what would you want to do? He will tell you he wants to make children's books. You know? So it's just a matter of what you want. I grew up in a household where my parents were very much in love, and my dad would do things like grab my mom's boob or pinch her butt, and that would never survive in the paper. But it wasn't to be titillating or to be graphic. It was endearing. It was genuine. It was, I don't know, they were in love still, even though they were older. But, and I'll put that kind of stuff in PvP.
What? Scott's pouring his heart out and you guys are laughing at
him. No, but someone's talking shit about my parents right now.
No, I think it was the boob grab. I think it was.
Huh? My chauvinism?
Chauvinism.
Oh.
No.
I don't know. This is off track.
Anyway.
But I think we got to wane this thing down.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is I like having a little bit in mind, but to the point where it's endearing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's actually
even though it makes your dad mad.
Even though it makes my dad very mad.
Listen, all censors are off. There's no media company that we're answering to. There's no and at the time being, there's no governmental controls on what you can and can't say. But that being said, I think there are sites for all kind of moods, and even an adult with a fully active libido wants a sweet thing, wants a semi sweet strip. There's a strip for every mood and a webcomic for every mood, and it's not the worst thing in the world, I think, to have some strips that are. This comes from the family-friendly strip guy, but you know what I'm saying, you know. All right, so one last question and wrap it up, or wrap it up, just or
maybe.
There's an eager hand, though.
Okay, real quick, yes, real
one,
quick.
One last fast one.
Lightning round.
What do you think? You think that there's something for everybody on the web, but what do you think might be missing? Do you think there's anything missing? And as a corollary to that question, maybe more girls?
You know what? As if we're keeping them from doing it. No! Not on my internet.
Not in Andy Capp's universe.
Grow a dick, asshole!
So the question before we go too far along the podcast what kind of strips are missing while there's laughter? I'm going to say that real quick.
Not women. You know, we used to get this question all the time at cons, like, when are more women going to draw webcomics? It was always a girl. And I'm like, when you fucking draw a webcomic, you're a woman. I have no control over it. But what are all the best webcomics now?
Well, they're done by women
Meredith,
now.
Meredith, Kate, Renee.
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
They're all better than all of
us.
Yes,
absolutely.
They are.
They should be up on the stage and we should be listening to them.
Vaginas!
On that note.
That's something
on
we can
that
all
note,
agree on. That was the graffiti in the. We get off in the plane in Philly.
That's right.
And I go into the bathroom.
We're coming back to that question.
We are. But
no,
I'm like,
we haven't gone back to a question.
White bread guy here gets off from the suburbs and goes, should I be afraid? Is Philly to be afraid of? Will I be attacked here? And I walk into the bathroom and it's like the after picture of like the blue light test at a hotel. And there's graffiti everywhere, and all the graffiti is just angry and hateful and racist. And then right at the bottom was a little piece of graffiti that said, vagina is good. And I was like,
it's like the generic, like the platonic ideal. Is
but like it was like, it almost was like a 16-year-old.
Yeah, it is a math equation.
It was like a 16-year-old just lost his journey. He's like, everyone needs to know.
No, but I wanna go back and answer her question. So I actually think I don't think a female presence is missing in and of itself. There's always room for more. But I will be honest and say that I don't think there's certain niches. They're niche. God,
you should use that. You should use that.
Chauvinistic.
Chauvinism.
Chauvinist.
I don't think I've seen a good webcomic, and you guys can correct me immediately. Probably people are going to yell at me. I don't think I've seen a good office webcomic. If you think about who's...
What the fuck are you talking
about? I'm going to... I want to clarify.
Oh, man.
No, I want to clarify that because...
Yeah, you better clarify it quick.
Scott has walked off
Start
the stage
talking.
At Agri.
Start talking.
Can I be honest with you? And
I'd love for you to be honest with me. For the first time.
I associate PvP, and you're going to probably say, no, that's wrong. I associate PvP more as a family setting than an office setting. Out of 365 days a year, there's maybe five strips where it's like, here's your assignment. No, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's more like family hanging out. And you, come on, you would agree.
Yeah, but what is an office comic strip going to be? They're really doing the work. We see them typing.
Hey there, and Cal, I see you're filing.
And now that I can get into.
Well... Now that I've stepped in.
No. You know what? Dave's right. No, PvP is a family that just happens to all work at the same office.
And maybe that's what... But like,
you tried. Brad tried.
In an office setting where they are office workers, I consider... No, my mic going off has got... No, I... that was... You know what? I'm gonna
This is why we're not writing a second book.
That's my own brain flub, is that I didn't even think... No, and I'm being honest. I did not even think of PvP as... Oh, don't give me this. God damn it. Now the whole weekend is going to be uncomfortable.
I'm sorry I failed you.
I'll tell you what. Here's my comparison, is that Dilbert is all about power plays and hierarchies, and that's what I meant as far as an office thing. In terms... Oh, man.
So you should be more like Dilbert.
So you should be more like Dilbert, then.
I think we're missing family strips about Doug.
Oh!
You started this.
She's trying to ruin us. It's not, it's her.
Bingo!
Actually, let's
talk later.
I think,
do you read Girls with Slingshots?
I actually think Girls with Slingshots is a fantastic example of that.
I'm introducing
Danielle strip Girls with Slingshots. I think is actually a fantastic example of that.
Have you read it?
No. You will love it.
She's here today.
Your strip that you're asking
go downstairs and get volume 1 and 2. It's a fantastic strip.
Oh, and Anders Loves Maria also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And quite honestly, Meredith strip. If you haven't read Octopus Pie, the relationships in that are fantastic.
Strong
you,
female characters.
Yeah. So
strong all characters.
And can I just say, I don't know where this came to in my mind, but if you're looking for a good office strip, let me tell you, Dilbert is pretty good.
I think we got to wrap this off.
Wrap
it off. It's like a bull being neutered.
That's
gotta wrap
you know,
it off.
That's
you
a wrap
just
it
let
off.
It fall. Just
no,
let it fall.
Chris,
it fall.
That's a finishing move. Like. Almost. That's a
like
handsome gentleman.
The handsome man.
That's the handsome man. That's the reverse, what was it? The reverse grip.
All right.
Cowboy grip.
I think we got to wrap this up, not because we're out of time, but we're basically out of friendship.
You've been watching and listening to Webcomics Weekly.
You're at
Webcomics Weekend.
At Webcomics Weekend. I know.
real sincere. You don't think about it that way. You don't. You're doing it all the time. Yeah.
And if you see, if you hear someone getting beat up in the men's bathroom later, I'd like some help. So if you could just comment, because he's bigger than me. I'm not a strong man.
Oh, good.